It's your freak hostess, Jody, and you're tuned into Provocative.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
I will marry a nigga off some dick, because everything else we can work on.
Then I have sporadic periods of excessive masturbation. I really like how that just sounded. If I fuck you once and it's good, I'm gonna keep fucking you. Because I didn't start sucking dick until college.
Blew in that man's butthole. That shit is wicked. That shit.
We've heard the cliches / sayings of women control sex, men control relationships, stuff like that, right? Now, I've also heard like the other end of the debate where it's like, okay, whoever wants something the least is who is in control, right? Regardless of how you look at it, you weaponize something, meaning that you can use it to your benefit if your investment is different than the person that you are interacting with, right? So if I'm weaponizing sex, that means that I'm using it as a reward, or, you know, withholding it is punishment based on how I feel the guy that I'm interacting with is, you know, treating me. Oh, if you're acting good, I'm going to reward you. If you're acting bad, I'm going to punish you. There was a recent post on, like, it's going across social media about how this man basically divorced his wife because they had sex twice within 2 years, right? And what's crazy about that is that there are a lot of women that are saying stuff like, oh, well, what did he do? You know, there's a reason that she withheld sex, as if that's justifiable, right? And I think this idea of women weaponizing sex has been so ingrained in our society, mainly because of, I like to blame everything on the patriarchy, because the patriarchy is at fault for a lot of shit. Or more specifically, what makes it kind of crazy that women weaponize sex is because at the heart of women being in control of sex is the fact that men make women to feel ashamed of engaging in sexual acts, right? So there's a lot that goes into the idea of, okay, me as a woman, I'm going to weaponize sex, but the people that I have sex with will make me feel terrible about engaging in sex. They'll make me feel insecure. They'll make me not want to engage in sex, because if I overly enjoy it, then I'm a hoe, I'm this, I'm that, I'm promiscuous. Why do you like it so much? There's just so much to unpack in terms of the history of women interacting in a sexual manner. And I don't want to get off into the deep end, but I definitely think that we need to talk about it. We need to unpack it. I'm not saying that at the end of this, I'm going to have a solution for us, because I cannot undo hundreds of years of sexual repression in a podcast episode. But hopefully I can get you guys to thinking about things a little differently. So we're going to talk about how basically, you know, the different ways in which people weaponize things, more specifically how women weaponize sex. Again, I haven't weaponized sex in a very long time. And the reason that I stopped weaponizing sex is because I don't get nothing out of it. Like, I like sex. So I'm going to deprive both of us of something that I want to do anyways. Like, that's kind of insane to me. So I don't find any, that doesn't fulfill me in any way. I have no benefit when it comes to withholding sex from someone, right? Now, that's not to say that I'm going to have sex with somebody even if they just, like, piss me off. I may or may not. It kind of just depends on how I feel. But I will not specifically in my head say, I'm not going to have sex with you because you just upset me. That's what I'm not going to do. Now, if I'm in a mood, that's one thing. If I'm not in a mood, that's something else, right? But I'm not just going to say, I'm not going to have sex with you because you upset me or you did this thing. Because if that's something that I want to do, then I'm going to do it. Now, I've talked about weaponizing sex in past episodes before, but the fact that this whole episode will be about weaponizing sex, it's probably going to get more in depth than any other time that I've talked about it. But I want to talk about this idea of sexual expression, right? And I brought that up before. But when it comes to our sexual expression, that's how we express ourselves sexually, that there's a correlation to our sexual identity, but it doesn't have to equate to our sexual identity. I'll use myself as an example, right? I do sexual acts that some might classify as homosexual. I do some things that lesbians do, right? However, that's not my sexual identity. My sexual identity is not that of lesbian. My sexual identity is also not that of bisexual. I am very much a heterosexual woman who has homosexual tendencies. I am very much heteroflexible, right? I only do homosexual things maybe like 20% of the time. I don't think that 20% negates the fact that I'm 80% heterosexual. I just engage in some homosexual activities every now and then for a little razzle-dazzle, right? My sexual identity, how I identify, is that of a heterosexual woman. However, the way I sexually express myself might not be all the way heterosexual, right? Well, ain't no might. Y'all know damn well from my stories that it's not that of a heterosexual woman, right? And that's when you get into the sexual fluidity of it. How I choose to express myself sexually in a moment or in a period of time. Like 10 years from now, I might say like, oh, I don't want to have sex with another woman. Like I don't want to. Or if you go back 10 years ago, if you look at the 23-year-old version of who I was, because I promise y'all, Jody wasn't even born at 23. When I was 23, like, it was still my nickname, but I wasn't the Jody that you guys know today. Totally different version of myself. I wasn't even thinking about a threesome. Like, the idea of that was like, no, I wouldn't do that. Wouldn't do that. Wasn't even curious about it, right? But time and experience and me being a freaky motherfucker and eventually tapping into that energy, I realized that, oh no, like there's something about this that turns me on. And it's not necessarily that I'm sexually attracted to a woman, because I've said that multiple times. When I look at women, I don't be like, oh man, I want to eat a pussy. Like, that's the measuring stick for me. I feel like that determines, like, when you look at a woman, you be like, I eat a pussy. That's when you know, like, you're a lesbian or you're at least bisexual. I don't look at women and think that. I might look at them and be like, all right, she got a fat ass. For me, that's not like a, ooh, that fat ass turns me on. It's like, no, she visibly has a fat ass. I'm looking at her ass. I can admire a fat ass. But that doesn't, it kind of ends there, right? There are a lot of heterosexual women that would say something like that. Oh, she got a fat ass. Well, oh, you know, she's beautiful or whatever. I'm just admiring her body on the surface level, right? But when I look at men, I'm sexually attracted to men. Like, I'm very sexually attracted to men. I will look at a man and be like, I want to suck his dick. Like, I'll look at someone and be like, yes, I would suck his dick. That's how I know that I'm not bisexual, because it's not an equal thing. Like, I engage in sexual acts with women, but that's only because I like the reaction that I get when I do the things that I do to women, which is more about my ego. It has nothing to necessarily do with them. I'm doing this because I know I'm going to get a reaction out of you. And that reaction that I get out of you strokes my ego. I'm the exact same way with men. I'm going to do this to you because it's going to stroke my ego and make me feel good about myself. And I actually cannot wait until the episode where I speak to a therapist, because I think that's going to be an interesting one. But I don't want to digress too much. But I say that to say, if you really enjoy something, then for you to weaponize it, you're going to deprive yourself of something. So I just talked about how much I enjoy things and then how I sexually express myself, right? I'm not going to deprive myself of something just because I'm trying to get someone to act a certain way. That's manipulation. And I'm also not saying that I don't manipulate people in other ways, because I'm sure I do. We all, to some extent, for good or bad, we manipulate people often. Intentionally, unintentionally. I don't think we should look at it as a bad thing if you're specific intentions are not to, like, oh, I'm intentionally doing this to manipulate someone, right? But we all have a lot of unconscious manipulation tactics. And I think we just got to take it for what it is. Like, it's not a, oh, you're a terrible person. Like, this is what it is. We have moments of manipulation. How do we move forward? Word manipulate is not bad. It's not a negative word. You can manipulate people. You can manipulate objects and fabrics and words and all types of shit, right? It just means that you change it around to fit something, fit a narrative, fit whatever you need it to fit. So to kind of go back to this idea of weaponizing sex, I think about sexless situations, right? Again, if women are weaponizing sex, they're taking sex off the table. I think about moments where I took sex off the table. If I take sex off the table, I just don't like you. Like, I don't think I like you. Because when I like someone, I want to fuck them. When it gets to a point where I do not like you, I do not want to fuck you. Like, I might joke and say, oh, I dislike him, and then turn around and fuck him for real. But that's not, I'm just jokingly saying, like, oh, I don't like that person. I remember my Scorpio ex, the crazy guy. I remember telling him that, oh, our sex is so good that even after we break up, I'll continue to have sex with you. That later proved to be a fucking lie, because we broke up. And at first I continued to have sex with him, but then I stopped liking him. Like, I completely stopped liking him. So even though we weren't together, I had to still like him to the extent that I was getting turned on by him. So it's like, all right, that's the only way we're going to be able to have sex. But it got to a point where I didn't want to have sex with him at all. And it was because of how he acted. Like, so then it got to a point where I'm like, I don't like you. Like, I don't like you as a person. I do not want to have sex with you. I have no desire to have sex with you whatsoever. And that's not necessarily a case of me weaponizing sex, but it is a case where sex was no longer on the table. So we're having conversations and stuff like that. Just because I break up with somebody don't mean I'm gonna completely stop talking to them. Like, I still be like cool with conversations. I don't initiate the conversations. Typically they talk to me and I talk back. But I realized I didn't like him. Like, once sex was off the table, I'm like, no, I just don't. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to kick it. I don't want to skate with you. I don't want to do nothing. Like, I don't like you. And then it got to a point where eventually, like, all of the communication ceased because sex wasn't on the table. And I took it off the table. Because he still, obviously, as long as I was willing to fuck him, he would have fucked. But I didn't want to have sex with him no more because I'm like, I don't like you anymore. But I also think about, like, times when I were, like, I was super young. So, like, when I was a teenager and I was, like, dating guys and I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to be in a relationship for a couple months and then when the time is right, we'll have sex and it'll be special. Then that was kind of crazy, too, because it wasn't like I was even enjoying that. So it's like I'm postponing sex and I'm not even enjoying it. So that was kind of, like, insane when I look back on it. But I think about other times as well where sex, when you're in a relationship, is part of what you sign up. Like, that's part. When you're in a relationship, you sign up to be your partner's, like, sexual companion, right? And if you're monogamous, y'all know I ain't, but if you're monogamous, if you're listening to this and you're monogamous and you're weaponizing sex, what is your partner supposed to do when you take sex off the table? Because now you're not doing, like, your role, right? And again, I'm not, like, even though women mostly weaponize sex, I'm not only talking to women, men and women. If you take sex off the table, what is your partner supposed to do if they want sex? Are they just supposed to deprive themselves? Y'all know how I feel about depriving yourself of something that is pleasurable. I don't think you should. It's okay if you strategically abstain for a period of time to achieve some goal. I'm not talking about that. But making a conscious choice to punish someone and take away something pleasurable, I don't know, that's kind of crazy to me. It's kind of crazy. I don't think I could ever sit back and be in a situation where I'm depriving myself of something. Because, and I'm not even talking about the no sex part, because y'all know I ain't going for no relationship without sex. That shit cooked. I'm not really too fond of friendships without sex. Just kidding. Why'd you just fucking giggle like that? Because what are you doing here? But I think sex is very, very important. And the reason that I think it's so important is because I think it's my philosophy around sex, right? Y'all know that sex for me is, it's, I would go as far as to say it's almost a religion. Like, it's a way of life. It's a philosophy. It's the way in which your body connects with someone else. Like, the exchange of energy, the way in which you can just kind of, like, make magic in that moment. I ain't depriving myself of that for no fucking body. I'm not going to intentionally deprive myself of that. Now, but also I'm not out here just like, all right, I'm just going to have sex just so that I experience the pleasure that's associated with sex. No, of course it has to be right. It has to feel good, whatever that means for you. I am talking about myself, and if you can relate, pull from it what you guys need, right? But I don't really see a benefit to weaponizing sex unless you don't like it. Weaponizing something that you enjoy sounds kind of insane. I feel like the only way you can kind of, like, really take something completely off the table for extended periods of time is if you really don't enjoy it. Again, I'm not talking about a couple months here and there. That's not the same. If you really taking something off the table it's like you're signing up to be asexual. Like, you're making a choice to be asexual. You're making a choice to not have a sexual response in that moment or fight your sexual urges. And I don't, why would you want to do that? If you are listening, like, and you can understand why someone want to do that, please reach out to me, because I have a hard time understanding that. And I would like to understand it, because sexuality is a spectrum. And there are a lot of people that fall in different places. So I, as a sexually curious person, I really want to understand what would make someone sign up to abstain from something or weaponize something that they enjoy. Now, I have talked before how, like, sometimes I'll go without sex for an extended period of time. But I also told y'all why I do that. I would go without sex for an extended amount of time because I know when I do have sex, it will be a heightened experience. Like, I'll be hypersensitive to it because I went without doing it. Anything outside of that very reason, I don't see myself taking sex off the table. Like, I just don't. And I wouldn't be in a relationship with someone if sex wasn't on the table. I don't know how I could function in a situation like that. And I'm trying really hard to think about what would make me want to be in a situation like that. But I wouldn't. The only time I would sign up for a situation where sex was not involved is if it was with, like, an old person. Like, I had a sugar daddy or something, and I really didn't want to have sex with them anyway. So I would, like, that's the only way I'm with somebody and I'm not having sex. And I ain't too fond of old people. Like, let me further clarify. I ain't too fond of dating older people. But that's because sex has to be on the table. And I don't want no older person thinking that they gotta, like, keep up with my has sex drive. Now they trying to pop Viagra and all this other shit, and they messing with their bodies. It ain't that deep. It ain't that deep. But also, you know, there are people out here that practice abstinence, practice celibacy. Again, I have periods of abstaining from sex. I wonder if there's, like, what are, like, the guidelines around when someone chooses to be celibate or abstinent? Like, I guess technically if I woke up tomorrow and I told somebody I was abstinent, I wouldn't be lying. I wouldn't be lying, because if there's not, like, a timeline associated with it, it can't really be a lie. Like, I could be abstinent for a week if I wanted to. Anybody I meet within that week, if I tell them I'm abstinent, I'm not lying. So, like, does there have to be, like, a goal? Does there have to be a goal? Like, in order for you to be abstinent or celibate? Can you do, like, intermediate abstinence? Like an intermediate fast? Like, the way you... Because if that's the case, I think I could intermediate abstain. I'm curious now. I'm curious. I'm going to do some more research on this. In a couple weeks, I am going to have a therapist on Provocative. And we have almost opposite views on sexual expression. And this particular therapist is actually abstinent. So she told me that she hasn't had sex in like 2 years. So I think you guys are going to enjoy that episode. So I'm looking forward to that episode because I wonder if she's going to, like, you know, tell me I'm a sex addict or not. So I'm curious about that as well. But I don't know, y'all. I'm really puzzled on this idea of people not having sex or not incorporating sex, because sex makes you happy. Like, it literally makes you happy. Like, what, when people be angry and you just know that they not having no sex, like, you can tell that they need a bodily release and not the kind that come from lifting weights. Like, you need some shit that's in you that needs to get out. Like, you need to release that shit. You need to release that energy, and you need to do it through sex. I also think that on my journey, I'm going to be practicing more and more with tantric sex. I think that's kind of like, I think I've been doing tantric sex for a while. I'm just now realizing that I do it though. And now that I realize that I do tantric like sex, now I'm going to be more strategic with doing tantra. Especially because, like I told y'all before, that you can have an amazing sexual experience without penetration. You can have sexual experiences without actually having sex, right? And I think that's important too. So maybe that's like a middle ground. But if you abstinent, does that mean you have any kind of, like, is there a gray area? Like, if you're abstinent, is there certain types of activities that you can participate in? Or are you like cold turkey? Like, you can't even play with yourself. Like, you can't touch yourself. You can't do nothing sexual. You can't watch porn. I'm a voyeur. Y'all know, like, even if I'm not sexually active, and I think the whole question of sexual acts, all right, like, y'all know when you go to the doctor and they be like, are you sexually active? I'm like, no. But when I say no, it'd be like, I mean, I ain't had sex in like 2 weeks. So technically, no, I'm not active. I'm sexually inactive. I don't really like that question. I think we need to, every time I'm asked that question at the doctor, I kind of like, I ask them like, what do you mean by that? And the nurse be laughing, but I be serious. Like, I don't like that question. But I digress a little bit. I'm curious if there's any wiggle room when it comes to something like that. Because I'm going to watch some porn. Even if I'm not masturbating. And it's funny because I watch porn without masturbating. And then I'll masturbate. Like, I don't, porn and masturbation don't necessarily correlate for me. Because I'll just regularly watch porn. And then I'll, like, masturbate without watching porn. I actually don't masturbate to porn. So there's that. But I think with this topic, I kind of want to hear from y'all. I really want to hear from y'all. The people that's in the Discord, feel free to chime in. I know there was an instance where, you know, people have reached out to me and said like, oh, you know, it's been a minute since me and my partner have had sex. What should I do? And I'm all for having like candid conversations, right? Let's have candid conversations. Let's figure out why. But if the why is because they're weaponizing sex, like, oh, you did this to me, so I'm gonna like take it off the table, I don't really like that, right? Because I think in your relationship, you should still show up and do the things that you're supposed to do for your partner. And that means, to some extent, participating in their sexual gratification. Now, of course, their sexual expression and your sexual expression is still your own to own. Your own to own. So you have agency over it. I still think that when you enter a relationship and a partnership with somebody, you both still have a responsibility to each other to fulfill whatever those sexual needs are. And if you won't fulfill those sexual needs, you have to be mature enough to give them the leeway, the freedom to still express their sexual, like they still need to be able to express themselves sexually, even if it's not with you. But, you know, I know everybody, you know, some of you guys are monogamous, so that might be a little too controversial for you. But I'm of the mindset that if there's a sexual activity that I myself am unwilling to fulfill, I don't want you to be deprived of it either. So I am all for what I call the supplement. I'm all for that. If there's a sexual activity that I am unwilling to do, and there are not many sexual activities that I am unwilling to do, so that's that. But if there was, for example, if there was something that I knew, like, you know what, that is not my cup of tea, but if you are into it, I'm fine with you finding someone to fulfill that particular need for you, because I want you to experience that. When I love someone, I want to, like, I don't want to take anything from them, right? So I want you to still have those sexual experiences. And I would hope that if there was something that I really wanted to do, you would still allow me to express myself in that way as well. Like, for example, if I say, you know what, I really like threesomes, right? And the guy that I'm seeing, he's like, you know what, I'm just not really, I'm not on that. I'm still on that. So it's cool that if you're not on that. But can I still need to be on that, because that is how I sexually express myself, right? I don't want to resent you or feel any type of way about being with you. And I also don't want to lie to you. I do not want to lie. I want to be honest. I want to be honest in coming to you and honest in your feedback as well. But also, again, I think that comes into, you know, this idea of weaponizing other people's sexuality as well, because I also wouldn't, for example, say, oh, the guy I'm dating is being good, I'm not really into threesomes, but let me throw a threesome in there to make him happy. I wouldn't do that shit either. That's kind of a way of trying to manipulate the situation as well, participating in something that you don't really want to do. So I just challenge you guys to think about, you know, are there ways that you weaponize sex or manipulate a situation and your intentions are not that good when it comes to when you do it? Think about that. That's all I have for today's episode. As always, I love feedback. I love reviews. Please continue to share the episodes, share the reviews. And yeah, that's all I got for y'all.
Before you go, I want to remind you to embrace your inner hoe. Thank you for tuning into Provocative, and don't forget to follow us on all streaming platforms. Happy hoeing.
PRHOE. VOCATIVE. Spelled with the word hoe, because deep down, we all got some hoe in us. And this is your safe space to be unapologetically provocative.
Oh, is my ground too masculine?
You put the nigga in missionary and yeah. Get the